Township Planning Board meeting Thursday, July 20th, 2023. I hereby declare this meeting of the Howell Township Planning Board to be open. Adequate notice having been given pursuant to the New Jersey Open Public Meeting Act in the following manner. On March 31st, 2023, a copy of said notice was mailed to the Asbury Park Press and the Star Ledger. Second, on March 31st, 2023, a copy of said notice was hand-delivered to the clerk of the Township of Howell. Third, on March 31st, 2023, said notice was posted in the office of the Planning Board and on the bulletin board in the Howell Township Municipal Building, 4567 Route 9, Howell Township, New Jersey. In accordance with the Fire Prevention Code and your safety, please be advised that this facility is designed with two emergency exits, which are on your right at the front and rear of the meeting room. Furthermore, smoking is not permitted in the municipal building. Please take note that this meeting is being videotaped for possible future broadcast on Howell Township TV 77. Thank you.
Roll call.
Mr. Cristiano's been excused. Mr. Greenfield's been excused. Mr. Husser?
Here.
Mr. Leggio?
Here.
Mr. Seaman?
Here.
Ms. Talente has resigned from the board. Mr. Tannenhaus?
Here.
Councilman Gazier is excused. Mr. Mercer?
Here.
Ms. Pike?
Here.
And Chairman Bavai?
Here.
You have a quorum.
Thank you. Okay, so we can just raise for the Pledge of Allegiance and a moment of silence for the troops serving here and abroad.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, we have some minutes.
Yes.
Okay. So we have minutes for the regular meeting, May 4th, 2023. Eligible voters are Leggio, Seaman, Mercer, and myself. Can I have a motion?
Motion. Second.
Mr. Leggio?
Yes.
Mr. Seaman?
Yes.
Mr. Mercer?
Yes.
And Chairman Bavai?
Yes.
Minutes are approved.
Okay, the second set are from May 18th, 2023. Eligible voters, Leggio, Seaman, Tannenhaus, and Mercer.
I'll make a motion to approve regular meeting minutes May 18th, 2023.
Second.
Mr. Leggio?
Yes.
Mr. Seaman?
Yes.
Mr. Tannenhaus?
Yes.
And Mr. Mercer?
Yes.
Thank you. Minutes are approved.
Do we have any vouchers?
I have no vouchers.
Any correspondence?
Yes, correspondence. I have a letter from Merrill Goncher. She's the attorney for case SP 1100, Monmouth Commerce Center, withdrawing that application. No
Fantastic.
Action. No action. Right?
Thank God. I mean, I was looking forward to the next, I don't know, 17 hours of testimony on that one, so.
I was looking forward to talking to you, the traffic. Yeah, I see you here.
I also have a letter from Jared Pape. He actually emailed me the other day, and the Asbury Park Press did not get his notice in on time for tonight's application. Therefore, he asked to be rescheduled to August the 3rd, and he granted the board an extension of time to act through August 30th. So that is off tonight.
That's the Larrabee Realty, right?
Yes.
Okay.
I also have an email from the IT department regarding two-factor identification for all township email addresses.
Oh, yeah.
So if anybody hasn't done so, please make sure you do. Otherwise, you might already be locked out of your emails if you haven't done the two-factor identification. If you have any questions or need any guidance, you can call me on Monday. And the last item, I emailed two ordinances that the council introduced this week. They're scheduled for public hearing adoption at the August 15th council meeting. I don't know if anybody has reviewed them, wants to discuss them for consistency with the master plan tonight.
Did you?
No, it was cleared up.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, no,
I had a question about this.
Cleared up by Brian.
think,
do you want to review it tonight, or do you want to, because you could review on the 3rd as well, correct?
No, I review, I mean, I read them.
Yeah, yeah, I'm saying, we
I read them.
Okay, so if you,
you want to have our professionals just give us a quick summary of them would be great.
Yeah, the first ordinance was 02323 or 02323 for Woodlands Management. Sam, I don't know if you...
It looked like we were just raising fees, right?
Absolutely. So 02323 is really just amending the contribution amount for the tree fund in lieu of planting trees. And if you would like, I could go on to the second 2324. That's the one I was just amending, repealing the previous adopted with the apiary practices with the beekeeping as a permitted accessory use.
And that had something to do with we follow the state, and I guess that was in conflict with the state. So.
I'm sorry, accessory for what?
The apiary practices in beekeeping as a permitted accessory use.
Yeah, it seemed like we weren't allowed to do it, Ryan, yeah. Because the state trumped our ordinance. Am I understanding
that? I just didn't hear. That's right.
Okay.
Can I make just a correction on the first one with the Woodlands Management?
Well, you can make a comment. You can make that comment.
Okay, I'd like to comment. It says certified tree expert. It's just no longer a title for anyone. It's now a license. So just to update it, it's been years now. So instead of, you know, redoing it and putting certified back in, it'd be better to change it to license.
Okay. We'll make that change in resolutions as well.
Thanks, Ron.
I'll put that comment to the clerk, too. So do we want to vote on these separately?
Yes. So if there's a motion regarding 02323, finding it to be substantially consistent with the master plan and passing along Sherry's comment.
I'll make a motion that is substantially consistent with the master plan along with Sherry's comment.
Second.
Mr. Husser?
Yes.
Mr. Leggio?
Yes.
Mr. Seaman?
Yes.
Mr. Tannenhaus?
Yes.
Mr. Mercer?
Yes.
Ms. Pike?
Yes.
And Chairman Bavai?
Yes.
Motion carries. Thank you.
Next ordinance, Ron?
The next one is 023-24, and it's bringing our beekeeping ordinance into compliance with the state. So if there's a motion to find that substantially consistent.
I make a motion that is substantially consistent with the master plan.
Second.
Mr. Husser?
Yes.
Mr. Leggio?
Yes.
Mr. Seaman?
Yes.
Mr. Tannenhaus?
Yes.
Mr. Mercer?
Yes.
Ms. Pike?
Yes.
And Chairman Bavai?
Yes.
Motion carries. Thank you.
Okay. All right, so we'll move on to resolutions. First resolution, case number SD3008, Lizette Cholula. Resolution granting submission waivers, eligible voters, Huzar, Mercer, and myself.
I'll make a motion to memorialize.
I'll second.
Mr. Husser?
Yes.
Mr. Mercer?
Yes.
And Chairman Bavai?
Yes.
Motion carries. Resolutions memorialized.
Okay. Next one is also case number SD3008, Lizette Cholula. Resolution granting minor subdivision approval with ancillary variance and design waiver relief. Eligible voters, Leggio, Seaman, Mercer, Pike, and myself.
I make a motion.
Second.
Mr. Leggio?
Yes.
Mr. Seaman?
Yes.
Mr. Mercer?
Yes.
Ms. Pike?
Yes.
And Chairman Bavai?
Yes.
Motion carries. Resolutions memorialized.
Okay, next up is case number SP1107. New NJ Ruckel Realty LLC. Resolution granting submission waivers. Eligible voters. Huzar, Seaman, Mercer, and myself.
Make a motion to memorialize.
Second.
Mr. Husser?
Yes.
Mr. Seaman?
Yes.
Mr. Mercer?
Yes.
Chairman Bavai?
Yes.
Motion carries. Resolutions memorialized.
Next up, case number SP1011A-2, Wen Claire Real Estate LLC. Resolution granting submission waivers. Eligible voters, Huzar, Tannenhaus, Mercer, and myself.
I make a motion to approve case number SP-1011A2.
F yourself.
Resolution.
That was Mr. Mercer's
yes.
Second? Thank you. Mr. Husser?
Yes.
Mr. Tannenhaus?
Yes.
Mr. Mercer?
Yes.
And Chairman Bavai?
Yes.
Motion carries. Resolutions memorialized.
Okay. Next up, case number SD 3004. Resolution granting minor subdivision approval with design waiver relief. Eligible voters: Mr. Huzar, Seaman, Tannehouse, Mercer, and Boivai.
I make a motion.
Second.
Mr. Husser?
Yes.
Mr. Seaman?
Yes.
Mr. Tannenhaus?
Yes.
Mr. Mercer?
Yes.
And Mr. Chairman Bavai?
Yes.
Motion carries. Resolutions memorialized.
Okay. Next up, case number SD 3007, Abbott Brothers LLC. Resolution granting submission waivers. Eligible voters: Huzar, Seaman, Mercer, and myself.
Make a motion to memorialize.
Second.
Mr. Husser?
Yes.
Mr. Seaman?
Yes.
Mr. Mercer?
Yes.
Chairman Levi?
Yes.
Motion carries. Resolutions memorialized.
Okay. Case number SP 1078A, New Horizon Properties LLC. Resolution granting amended preliminary and final site plan approval with ancillary variance relief. Eligible voters: Huzar, Seaman, Tannenhaus, Mercer, myself.
I make a motion.
Second.
Mr. Husser?
Yes.
Mr. Seaman?
Yes.
Mr. Tannenhaus?
Yes.
Mr. Mercer?
Yes.
And Chairman Bavai?
Yes.
Motion carries. Resolutions memorialized.
Okay. Next up, case number SP 1108, Howell Crossing, LLC. Resolution granting submission waivers. Eligible voters: Huzar, Seaman, Mercer, myself.
Make a motion to memorialize.
Second.
Go ahead.
Mr. Husser?
Yes.
Mr. Seaman?
Yes.
Mr. Mercer?
Yes.
Chairman Bavai?
Yes.
Mr. Chairman?
Carries. Resolutions memorialized.
With regard to the final resolution, I did get a comment from...
Is this on?
Yes.
I did get a comment from Mr. Tannenhaus. Mr. Tannenhaus, if you want to just articulate the condition that you'd like in there, and then if the board agrees, we can include it.
Sure. Thank you. So during the testimony, we had some concerns about the fences around the retention basins. They were pretty deep and steep, and I just wanted to make it so that someone couldn't climb onto the fences. There was some testimony about it. The applicant, we had discussed maybe some vegetation of some sort, but our professionals felt that that probably wasn't the best way to go. So we talked about putting an anti-climb fence. They're putting a fencing material on it anyways. We talked about making it an anti-climb fence material, and it was my recollection that the applicant agreed to that.
So what we can do is, if there's a motion to memorialize the resolution, we can add a condition which provides that the applicant will provide anti-climbing fencing around the basin subject to the review and approval of the board engineer and board planner.
Right. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it doesn't seem unreasonable.
So we can take a motion on that.
Okay, so eligible voters: Seaman, Tannenhaus, Mercer, Pike, and myself.
Okay. With that update, I make a motion.
Second.
Mr. Seaman?
Yes.
Mr. Tannenhaus?
Yes.
Mr. Mercer?
Yes.
Ms. Pike?
Yes.
And Chairman Bavai?
Yes.
Motion carries. Resolutions memorialized with the condition.
Okay. And next up is case number SP 852A, Village Square at Howell, LLC. It's amended preliminary and final major site plan approval with ancillary variance and design waiver relief.
Thank you.
Good evening, members of the board. My name is Mark Brighton. I'm the attorney for the applicant in this matter. This is an application to amend a previously approved site plan, which was granted final approval in 2006. The purpose of the application is to add 8 parking spots in the vicinity of the end cap of the medical building that's on near Kent Road. The reason we're doing this is that the tenant is an oncology specialist, and in the morning they have elderly people coming to the site for treatment, and it seems like a lot of the cars are gathering in that area without adequate places to park and get access to it. So as a convenience to the patients coming in, we want to add these 7 spaces. As a result of it, we need 2 minor variances, some design waivers, and we've been working with the town over the past couple of months to address all the issues of the professionals. I think as of tonight, most of them have been addressed. So with that in mind, I have our engineer here, Josh Sewell from Dynamic Engineering, who can address the issues before the board for its consideration and to address any questions the board or its professionals may have this evening.
You swear or affirm the testimony you're about to give this board is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Please state and spell your name for the record.
Josh Sewald, S-E-W-A-L-D.
Okay. Counsel, if you can just qualify Mr. Sewald.
And Sewald, you're an engineer and planner, is that correct?
That is correct.
And your firm is? Yeah, so I have a Bachelor's of Science in Civil Engineering as well as a Master's of Science in Civil Engineering. I testified before over 100 land use boards. I have been before Howell back in 2020. And I'm a licensed professional engineer and professional planner.
Licensed, good standing?
Yes, sir.
We'll accept your credentials.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Josh, if I call you that?
Yes.
Would you like to take it from the top and go through with the board and just advise them what the situation is and what we propose to do as far as seeking final approval on this amendment site plan?
Certainly. The exhibit that you see before you on the screen is called the site and grading plan. It references the approximately 4.96 acre lot. The property, as you've heard, has been developed and approved since 2005, 2006. There's about 11,000 square foot building up front on Route 9 that has the Dunkin' Donuts drive-through end cap. In the back, closer towards Kent Road, you have about a 20,000 square foot office building. Majority of the tenants in there are all affiliated with medical uses. Veterinary care, like you said, the oncology place, there's kids' dentists, a bunch of different tenants back there located. Overall, the property prior to the recent improvements had 140 parking spaces. That was approved back in 2005, and at the time of the approval, that was actually above and beyond the maximum allowable parking, meaning that we exceeded the minimum ordinance standard. Fast forward today, in working with the applicant and the owner of the property, due to their tenant, who is the RCAA tenant on the Kent Road end of the medical building, they were looking for more parking spaces. So these plans that you see before you on the screen are essentially some limited drawings, site grading, landscaping and lighting with some details for construction to install 8 more parking spaces. 1 right up along the frontage of the building, 7 located along the northern side property line. At the time, there was actually a residential home on that our neighboring lot. Since then, and if you've been down to the site, that property has been demoed and you guys approved, I believe, an office building. So there's no longer a residential use with our shared northern property line owner. We do have Kent Road, and across Kent Road to the west is a residential development and neighborhood over there. So overall, in going back and forth with your board professionals a couple of times, meeting on site with Ms. Spiro in our office, the applicant has agreed to provide additional 75 plantings to further enhance the residential buffer on Kent Road, as well as some around additional buffering near the 8 parking spaces that are out on site. There are some variances that we have associated with this project, but that's a high-level summary of what's going on.
Are the proposed parking spaces going to be reserved for the oncologist or just open to anyone who's in the facility?
There's no new proposed signage. If you go to the site today, there's various signs up along the front of the building that say reserved or only 10-minute loading and unloading, and then each kind of tenant has 1 or 2 spaces dedicated to themselves. But the 7 on the northern property line are not currently reserved right now, and neither is the 1 that is located up along the front.
The proposed 8 are not reserved.
That is correct.
Okay. And the dimensions, though, are compliant with our ordinance?
9x19, and there's a 30-foot drive aisle, so okay. We are compliant
okay.
with those
Thank
standards.
You.
to elaborate on the variances that are required.
Certainly.
And the extent of the variance as well.
Absolutely. So there's three variances in accordance with your board engineer and planner. I believe one of them I'll ask for the professional's interpretation, whether it's considered a variance or design waiver, but I'll address all of them. Anyway, one section is 188-63A, requires a 50-foot perimeter buffer on all commercial lots next to a residentially zoned properties. We have a one-foot encroachment of one of the eight new spaces into the residential buffer that is along Kent Road. 1 foot, again, I believe is de minimis, and the applicant has worked with your professionals over the last few months to add 75 parking spaces. The second variance is very similar. It talks about no structure, disturbance, or parking of vehicles within that buffer. It's the same 1 foot encroachment. The third variance is buffer requirements, basically what is inside of this buffer. Now, again, the ordinance goes back to 2005 with this approval. I do not know what the buffer standards were back in 2005, but fast forward, if you review your current ordinance, there's about four different conditions associated with what your township wants inside of that 50-foot buffer. You're allowed to meet two of the four. The existing development doesn't comply with any of the four, and even though we are enhancing with 75 more plantings, we still don't comply with the four conditions of the buffer. And then the fourth kind of relief that we're seeking this evening is number of parking spaces. And again, I would like to just quickly refer to your professionals. The approval back in 2005 called out shopping center parking standard for the front retail building and then office parking standard for the back. Fast forward to today, the review letters kind of analyzed some of the different tenants. We have a Dunkin' with a drive-thru end cap that obviously can have a higher higher parking count per your ordinance, but the building is not changing. We're not adding any more square footage. The approval you had in 2005 and 2006 still showed that drive-through end cap, but there was no tenant at the time. In addition, the 2005 approval showed the office parking calculation for the back building of 20,000 square feet. Again, no new increase in square footage for this application, but now we're potentially looking at just the medical parking calculation, so which is a higher threshold. What am I saying right now? Overall summary, we are going from 140 spaces to 148. Depending on what parking calculation you apply, the old approval, we did not require any variance relief. The way that it was approved and the calculations at that time showed that we are above and beyond the baseline minimum for Howell. Where we are today, if you guys, as well as your professionals, think that we should separate it out, we do require an existing non-conforming variance that we are then improving with the eight spaces. So I'm prepared to testify of the C2 planning criteria in either capacity, but just for the record, I would like to just hear from them real quickly.
Mr. Chairman, it's a legal matter. The fact that the ordinance has changed and they're coming in, or the ordinance hasn't changed, the fact that the uses have changed, there are different requirements. They need a variance. All of this goes towards the merits of the variance, but they're not absolved from variance relief. So I would direct that the C2 criteria be placed on the record.
Sure. So overall, I believe that all four variances that we just mentioned can all fall within the C2.
Well, just what's the total requirement now for the parking?
So the second half of that question, if we utilize medical parking, which is 1 for 150, and we use retail at 1 for 150, is it the board's position to break out Dunkin' Donuts? Because in the original approval...
Hold on, Laura, how many parking spaces do they need?
322, and again, that's based upon the uses that exist. I understand how they were approved, but...
They need a variance. That's
correct, and it's due to the deviation.
Yeah, I just wanted to see...
20% deviation.
I just wanted to see what the scope of the variance was. All right, so you need 322. You've got 140. You're going up to 148.
Right. Thank you for that clarification. Mm-hmm. So we are seeking under the C2 zoning alternative, basically the board can permit the relief requested because the alternative results in improved planning and zoning. So you just heard a high-level summary about how we originally had 140. We're looking to go to 148, even though the ordinance requires 322. So although a variance relief, it is an improvement to the existing conditions because we're adding and getting closer towards that number. We advance the purposes of the municipal land use law under purpose A, which is encourages public health, safety, and general welfare. Purpose G, which talks about sufficient space and appropriate locations with a variety of uses. Purpose I, desirable visual environment through good design. That was with working your professionals and getting about 75 more plantings along that Kent Road buffer. And purpose M, most importantly, is the most efficient use of land. Instead of going and taking this tenant to another site that may be undeveloped, we're looking to keep all tenants on site and just further enhance the parking associated with it. Overall, it's my professional opinion that the benefits of the deviation that we're requesting this evening certainly substantially outweigh any type of detriment. More parking for an existing successful shopping center, in my opinion, is only a positive. And with the addition of other landscaping, I don't see any negatives or detriments. Overall, it's our opinion and the applicant that we can grant the variance without substantial detriment. That has no negative impact to the public good, and you certainly are not impairing any intent or purpose of your zoning ordinance or the master plan. All the uses that are still within the center are permitted uses. You meet the goals and the intent of the municipal land use law, as well as it advances the master plan. So overall, it's our opinion that in working with your professionals, adding the additional landscaping and any comments remaining in the CME engineering review letter or the Avakian planning letter will be addressed and we will comply with certainly.
So just also, and you know, you probably place this on the record in other applications, the oncologist, who's probably also a hematologist, I mean, it's all appointments. And so the control over cars coming and when they're coming and being able to access at different times, that's it's not like a free-for-all over there. Everyone knows sort of when these cars are going to come, and the doctor's office schedules it so that it can be accommodated.
Absolutely. The last thing, just to close, Laura, there was a design waiver in there, 188226B, discussing, it's on page 3, item B, talking about the property line next to residential use. Can we either eliminate that or withdraw that? Because since I've been to the site, that residential house has been demoed.
Great.
Perfect. Thank you.
Josh, what is
that lot zone? Ooh,
I'm sorry.
All right, so it's not zoned residential either. Okay.
I just want to know the sidewalk. Can you just describe what that is? I'm a little confused with the sidewalk here.
Yes, certainly. So that one space that we added up along the building, there was no sidewalk there previously. So we just extended it next to it.
Thank you.
Just to clarify, though, that lot 24.03 is zoned. Nope, wrong way. Is zoned HD1, correct?
That is correct.
And we do have a traffic expert to explain to the board what's going on the site today. And I think you'll hear that everything is functioning properly.
No, we're not saying. We're just saying that the plaza is a busy plaza. That's what we're saying. LabCorp's in there. You guys, you know, early morning, LabCorp and this gentleman is probably the most trafficked because it's away from Dunkin' Donuts. Dunkin' Donuts is at the on Route 9.
That's correct.
Yeah, this is in the back. So.
Yeah, so the traffic supplement that was provided was an actual real live parking count. So we sat out there for certain hours and days, and we tried to make sure that there was not a negative parking impact. Basically, there was no cars spilling over into Kent Road. So everything that we've counted in the report shows that we never exceeded the 140 spaces.
Sure.
And then we broke it out in the region.
I've been there in the morning for LabCorp. I go once a month anyways to get blood drawn. And, you know, it's even LabCorp now, it's not everybody rushes in. Like, you know, it's all appointments. Yeah. So mm-hmm. I've never not been able to find a parking space. So
just on the doctor, not necessarily the exam rooms, but the sort of the larger area where people are getting infusions. How many patients at one time would be there?
I said it one more time. I'm sorry, it was a little.
Not necessarily the patient rooms, but usually there's a larger area where everyone's sitting down and getting infusions, whether chemo, iron, whatever, you know, and that takes a little while. What's the capacity of that area?
I certainly don't know. I did not go inside and look at the floor plan. We were more focused on the applicant and owner of the shop, of this retail center said, hey, listen, my one tenant at the
I know, and I was just, that question, it wasn't me being curious about people with cancer. It was me being curious about, you know, what the need for the parking was, whether that was adequate or not.
Sorry, yeah, don't have that inside, inside of the building information.
Mr. Seawalk, I just jump in here. So are you in need of spaces for the whole site, or are you in need of spaces for the oncologist and the doctor's office and the lab core?
The purpose of this application was for our tenant on the corner.
So would it be possible to maybe do more than the two signage if you did that and you signed the area for the lab core and the doctor's office? You'd be able to relieve three variances would be gone. You're not in the buffer. You know, this is what I'm just trying to mimic off of what the board is saying.
Certainly. I could briefly chat with my client real quick.
Not a huge
Good question. There's a lot of tenants at that corner, and as you know, the parking lot kind of extends towards Kent Road. So if we can work with your office on not every single space having like a dedication, because of the different times of the operation of all those tenants, they peak at all different times. So,
but I don't understand the resistance, though.
This
one tenant needs more spaces. If this one tenant needs more spaces and we're giving more spaces, but you don't want to give all those spaces to that one tenant, multiple tenants need more spaces, right?
It's a blend. So that building has 5 to 6 different tenants. So in the morning, maybe LabCorp is busier than...
No, but what I'm saying is the testimony that you gave probably needs to be expanded. Well, you may have one tenant that's very vocal about the need for more spaces. More of them need more. The entire operation appears to be successful, and they all need more spaces. And that's why they can't all be dedicated to the one single tenant, right?
At the different times, correct. Yes, so that's why I was saying we can work with you on which spaces the applicant is willing to designate. So if you go out to the site, there is already signage, but for some of those tenants up front, there's already 3 signs. One's for a loading area or no more than 10-minute parking. Then there's another sign that's like just dedicated for RCCA. And then there's a third sign located for that other tenant. So the general testimony is that more spaces at this busier part of the medical office is still a benefit. My comment is I don't want to reserve every single one for one, because at different times of the day, those 8 spaces benefit those 3 end cap tenants. That's the general testimony.
No, I would say to the board, you know, because it is in the context of variance relief, that's the applicant's ask. The board has some liberty to determine how it wants to, you know, act in terms of if there's an approval and how the spaces are going to be used and occupied.
My only concern is of an empirical one. I don't have enough experience to see if pushing these spaces closer to the entrance are going to cause ingress and egress issues and potential backups on.
Well, they have a traffic expert who's going to be coming up.
So that would be that's really my only main concern. And then is that going to cause any issue? Well, let me ask my next question to see if this is also traffic. My next question is, because we're pushing these spaces closer to the entrance, you do have people coming, and even if there isn't a queuing problem, is there enough time? Because everybody knows how you get into a facility. If Kent Road is busy, and Kent Road can get busy, someone could be making a left turn in quickly because they just got a small gap because Kent does get that busy. Do they have enough time to react to someone who may be walking across with the spaces that close?
So what's the distance from Kent?
And or backing up. Because that person backing up isn't going to see that person flying in.
Right.
So those are my two general concerns.
So
is that something that you could opine on, or is that traffic?
I'm not a PTOE, but guys, we're talking about 8 parking spaces. Traffic generation is based off of square footage expansion.
You're not a PTOE, but I just heard council say there's a traffic expert. Right?
Yeah. They do, but I'm trying to answer the question.
Well, why don't you have your traffic expert answer the traffic question is what I'm saying.
Civil site circulation, I think, falls within the purview of a PE. I just want to try to help answer that the depth question real quick.
Yeah, but we're just concerned with safety, with circulation in the on-site, right?
Absolutely.
Again, right now, there's a curb where you guys stop. There's landscaping, and when cars are coming in, can't left or right, they can see it's wide open. They can see now we're expanding out 8 spots closer to the entrance of Kent Road, and we're just trying to talk out a little bit. That's all.
Yeah.
Council, I just want to place on the record after that. I'm fully aware of the New Jersey Administrative Code and the provisions that talk about which witnesses can talk about which topics. However, I was only acknowledging a proffer that was placed on the record that there's a traffic expert. I did not mean for the board to be deprived of your expertise tonight. So, let's go.
I presented a lot in front of you, Ron. I didn't take it that way, I promise.
Okay.
No, but my general point was to answer the question that we're talking about 8 parking spaces, yes, closer to Kent Road. There was no increase in size of the building, so our traffic report was a parking study. There is no levels of service that you're going to hear from my partner, Justin Taylor, shortly. The question, I think, was more derived not about the levels of service, but more of the proximity of parking to the driveway, which I think can be addressed by a civil site engineer. We did the plans for you. It's in my experience that you have 50 feet from Kent Road to the very first parking space. That is your driveway through where one or two cars can just stack queue and make its maneuvers that you have there. Again, this was more of a tenant improvement from the shopping center owner, not necessarily something because there's been a turnover and all of a sudden there's not enough parking throughout the site. The parking that you have out on site and the traffic parking report that was provided shows that we still don't even hit the 148 spaces. It's more localized based off those tenants during certain peak hours. I drove out to the site at 6:15.
I don't mean to cut you off.
Yeah, please.
You're concentrating on something that I don't think anybody here on the board, including myself, has opined a concern about.
Okay.
So I would like you to stop providing testimony on that. You've already given us that testimony. We'll weigh that testimony in regards to the variance relief that you require. My concern is an empirical one, and I would love to know if 50 feet is enough space to sit for someone to come into the parking spot at a possible high rate of speed and properly be able to stop if someone's either backing out of those spaces or walking across, because you said –
these are our patients. And if this is going to be for oncology patients, I'm expecting someone to not be in the greatest of health and be able to run out of someone's way that may not be able to see them properly. So if there is any documentation, maybe the traffic engineer can opine on this. I know there's some certain regulations that they have to follow, but if there's any documentation that says if you have 50 feet from a parking space coming off of a busy road, that's enough queuing for them to react. I would love to hear testimony about something in regards to that, if you don't mind.
I'll add two things, and let my traffic engineer speak. There is a speed hump out there on site today that is located past the 7 parking spaces on the northern side property.
Okay.
That was done by the applicant to slow down the maneuverability of those spaces. So that's the one point that I wanted to make to answer your question. There's no empirical data on that, but you are correct. To slow the traffic going between the parking spaces to Kent Road, there is a speed hump there with the signage.
Is that leaving or coming?
It's located right after the 7 spaces. So it's between Kent Road and the 7 spaces. So it hits both.
Okay, so it does ingress and egress.
That is correct, okay. Yes.
Mr. Sewell, can I make a suggestion to you?
Please.
Maybe your applicant will have a problem with this because, you know, we have a lot of landscaping getting put in too. So you maybe back off a little bit on some of the landscaping. But you see that? See this right here? All right, here's your proposed piece. Would your applicant be maybe open to striping the parking lot? Like you see, like, you know, in the city where it's boxed and it says drive safely or, you know, slow go, you understand what I'm saying? From here to here.
Yeah,
I parking lot. That way it makes people more aware that we got cars backing out because it's, you know, the curb is here. Yeah, right now this is all wide open, you know, and that'll make people more aware of, you know, listen, maybe your driver guide can.
No problem. We can say
we're
that.
We're just trying to make it a safety issue for us. It's a crazy problem.
Respectfully, though, you can't consider it because it's striped no parking fire lane. Correct?
I mean, I think he was saying more of the.
He was talking about a box out striping in the area that you currently have striped to be no parking fire lane.
I would like to hear more of the traffic testimony, I think, before we start making those kind of suggestions.
Laura, I heard the slow down text, that's all.
He was specifically talking about striping, correct, on the...
Well, I was just saying, I know that's a no parking fire, but maybe to make people more aware of those spots coming in and off of Kent, the pavement just went up. I'm not a professional with that, I can understand your point, and then tell your applicant, you know, he's here. Yes, you guys are one of the best kept plazas in our town, so congratulations on giving out that money every month to keep that place pristine. I wish we had more of that in town. Yeah, it's a very well kept plaza. So let's not stop with this. You know, all right. What do you want to hear from, Ron? You want to hear from traffic?
Oh, it's up to the board.
Yeah.
We also, Mr. Chair, I don't know if you want to open it to the public for questions after each witness or just wait till the end. It's been my experience. You never know when that door is going to swing open.
Considering the months of the public outcry.
Yeah, I'm wondering if we should put an email out. If you're going to show up, we can have it in person. If you don't plan on showing up, we can go back to online.
Oh, listen, there's, you know, that might be coming. Who knows?
I mean, it's ridiculous. We've made the accommodation, and no one's coming to make any comment.
This one at the middle school.
It's just terrible.
I like the middle school.
Well, but just keep it to the context of this application.
Other questions?
Okay, Mr. Taylor, do you swear or affirm the testimony you're about to give this board is the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth?
I do.
Please state and spell your name for the record.
Justin Taylor, T-A-Y-L-O-R. And I would just say to the board, my license is still in good standing. Nothing has changed since the last time I saw you.
We'll accept your credentials. Application was withdrawn.
Yes. I'm much more happy to be talking about this than the application that shall not be named. So I've heard the questions, Mr. Townhouse. They're great concerns. Maybe I can break it down a little bit. Between the stop bar and the back of that first parking space that we're talking about, it's approximately 50 feet. That stacks two vehicles approximately. While we didn't do specific queuing counts at that location, we were on site several times collecting the parking data. I myself used the LabCorp as well. And you never see more than one or two cars waiting there. So I don't think that the queuing is going to interact with the operation of the proposed spaces that are there.
And I would agree on the exit part. I was more concerned about the entrance.
Yep, absolutely. And I think what needs to be kept in mind is when you're turning into and out of a site, right, the average left turning speed across that is about 15 miles an hour. A right turn's about 9. So if you were to look to ASHTO, right, the American Association of State and Highway Transportation Officials, the stopping site distance that you need for 15 miles an hour is 85 feet. You have more than that from where the vehicle will be turning left into the site coming south on Kent Road to that very first parking space, right? And that's not even the back of the car. As you're backing out, you're heading back to Kent Road from that location. So you're really even a little bit further than where the parking space starts.
Well, I'm sorry, my math may be fuzzy, but you said we had approximately 50 feet, but you say we need 85.
So that's correct. Now, 50 feet is from the stop bar. It's not from the edge of the pavement, and it's actually not even from the southbound lane of Kent Road where that vehicle's turning from. So as you're turning into the site, you're all the way on the far side of the roadway looking into what's going on. You also know you're pulling into a parking lot in this area, right? The people that are coming here are familiar with it's a parking lot. So you're not coming in flying. You're coming in the fact that there may be other parking maneuvers going on. But even if you're not looking, if you start to make that turn and somebody backs out of the space or somebody walks across it, you have enough time to hit the brakes and completely come to a stop before you reach that first parking space. So I think it's a very valid concern. I just think it's laid out as well as we can, and I don't think it's going to create a safety concern. I could also suggest to the applicant, right, there are employees in every one of these facilities, and it could be encouraged that the employees park in these to turn them into lower turnover parking spaces. I don't think we're necessarily going to sign it for that, but it's very easy to say, hey, park down the end down there to the nurses or the phlebotomists that are at LabCorp or something to that effect. And that might just, you know, cut down on the turnover there.
15, that's actually a pretty good idea.
That's a good idea.
Do I bring up
ballards? You can bring up whatever you want.
We don't need a ballard, do we?
Well, what's that? No, I meant the ballards for all of the front facing parking spots. Huh? No, you guys don't have ballards in front of the parking spots now.
I believe so.
They're adding a spot in front of the building. Ordinance requires ballards.
And the speed bumps are in the 50 feet or in the parking lot itself?
The speed hump is in the 50 feet.
In the 50 feet.
No, I'm going to say we need a variance. I think it would be helpful if we fixed the issue we had when this applicant was first seen and put bollards in all of the appropriate parking spots to meet the new ordinance.
That's a question for Ron.
Yes.
What was the question?
What I'm saying is it's an existing condition. So the question specifically is whether or not they need protective devices where the parking abuts the sidewalk, abuts the building. So essentially, that really is an existing condition. Even the parking stall that they're adding will not be directly in front of the building. So I would note that as it's currently an existing condition, and I guess the question was to Ron, is it something you require now?
Right.
But what I would say was the site was done. This was approved in this fashion. Yes, the ordinance changed after the fact. And I would just say that it's an existing
condition. So it's not required.
I think what we're focusing on is the 8 parking spaces. So does our ordinance require a bollard for the 8 parking spaces?
No, none of the 8 parking spaces will not directly abut sidewalk
and our ordinance does not require a bollard unless it directly abuts.
No, my question was even more direct than that. Is it because they require variances, if this board deems it to be, in order to get those variances, we think it would be a good idea to put those bollards in.
Well, you have to draw some rational nexus between the variance and what you're asking for. So I guess my question would be, what is the nexus between the need for the bollard and not having enough parking spaces. If there is one, then, you know, you can certainly get there that route.
The nexus is we know why we put the ordinance in place, because a lot of people are going through buildings.
But that doesn't relate to having fewer parking spaces in those locations. But I guess my question to the applicant is that just a no on bollards. I mean, we don't need to really debate it if the applicant will put some bollards in.
It's not in the budget to do. We don't think it's really a safety issue based upon what I'm hearing here tonight.
I'm sorry, you just a little louder.
I'm sorry. No, the applicant does not want to have these bollards put in along the whole strip that fronts the building.
Mm-hmm. I think it's a little tough to get to the bollards from needing parking relief for spaces that don't require the bollards under our ordinance, but that's just my legal view on it.
I have no further questions.
Anybody else have any questions?
I'm just going to make a suggestion. I think Mr. Taylor's idea of making that employee parking only is a really good idea if you're looking to free up parking spaces for the various tenants. I think that's a home run.
I am.
Yeah, that solves a lot of...
I think
makes a lot of... makes most of us feel a lot more comfortable, especially with the safety
issue. So what I understand is this parking would be for the employees.
Correct. Right, so there would be less in and out.
On people that don't know the site, mm-hmm. parking.
Right. You would have, you know, folks that need those spaces.
And then the closer spaces would be for the patients, too, so it's kind of a win-win.
I could go along with that.
Yeah. Yeah, but how do we know where the employees are parking right now?
They're going to sign it, and then if they want extra, they're going to have to educate their employees to use those spots first. But they'll be signed, employees only.
Yep, I think we can agree to that.
Yeah, I think that's a...
Yeah.
That seems logical to me.
Absolutely. Thanks, Justin.
Good idea. For the record, our leases where our tenants have the right for us to assign parking spaces to employees. So we would contact all of our tenants to say park here.
Perfect.
So would this recommendation be suitable for the oncologist tenant? You feel a little bit?
Okay. Yeah, because you figure if anything, it's going to free up the spaces up front for the patients. Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
So then
makes everything.
Yeah, makes everything safer.
Feels, that's
yeah.
it.
To win-win.
It's going to work.
Yeah.
there's no parking lot to cross, then they're parking right against the building.
Exactly.
That's just safer for everybody.
Correct.
Right? All right, so we have a motion to approve this?
Do they have their class yet?
Not.
Motion's coming from there.
I don't know. We got.
I mean, they'd be happy with that.
So I would say, council.
So we could feel like we got something out of this?
You know, snatching defeat out of the jaws of victory. So I don't think you have any more testimony, right?
No, the traffic study is in your packet, which Josh did.
Okay.
So, is there any questions about that?
No. So, with that said,
you can just open it to the public.
Open it up to the public. So if the public has any questions, they can come up here.
We're going to cross the other.
Seeing none, this crowd. We're going to close it to the public. And before we entertain a motion, how do you want to word everything?
So Ron? It would be a motion to grant an amended preliminary and final site plan approval with ancillary variance relief. They do not need the design waiver, or any design waiver relief, correct?
That is correct.
Okay. With the conditions that have been placed on the record.
Okay. So then I will entertain a motion.
I'll make a motion to approve.
Second.
Mr. Husser?
Yes.
Mr. Leggio?
Yes.
Mr. Seaman?
Yes.
Mr. Tannenhaus?
Yes.
Mr. Mercer?
Yes.
Ms. Pike?
Yes.
And Chairman Bavai?
Yes.
Motion carries. Application's approved.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Have a good day. So, we don't have any reason to go into executive, right?
No, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. And then there is a master plan meeting this coming Thursday. It is a virtual master plan meeting. So with that being said, I will entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
All in favor?
Aye.
Adjourned.